routine to you, if you have a heart of worship unto the Lord, those songs that we sing in the song service, there's a message there that can help and prepare and tune our hearts to the things of God and help us praise and worship God. And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight, is continuing in our series on what is worship. Now, last week we talked about the heart of worship and the necessary part that the heart plays in worship, and it needs to be a heart of humility unto the Lord. And tonight we're going to talk about the aim of our worship. And I have probably maybe 10 points that go along with this message. We're not going to cover them all tonight. I saw that look, Rebecca. She goes, ugh. We're going to be here forever. We're not going to cover them all tonight. I'm going to make your face turn red in just a second, Rebecca. I'm going to keep picking on you. No, we'll get through a few of them tonight. We'll just have to continue this message next week, Lord willing. But A.W. Tozer called worship the missing jewel of the evangelical church. And I don't know exactly what he meant by that. I could imagine, you know, that he had, say, a crown or something like that, some fine piece of, you know, jewelry that was there, but there was one thing that was missing to it that would have finished it off and made it beautiful. And he said the missing jewel was worship. And I wonder if that is somewhat true, one thing that God's people and God's churches are missing in this day and age, a true sense of worship unto the Lord. Because so much of what we do in life is routine. I mean, we have our jobs, and we have our fun, and we have our entertainments, and we have our responsibilities, and that's kind of our nature. We're people of routine. We just have the things that we do. And included into that is service to the Lord as part of our routine. And maybe sometimes we miss out or we forget what we're really here for. And it's always good to have a refreshing and a refocusing of our mind and our purpose as to why we're here and what we're doing. And so we're talking about worship unto the Lord because it is the primary responsibility of God's people to worship their Creator. We were created for that, to give God glory and bring glory to His name through our worship. And there are some basic principles that are provided in Scripture that should guide our thoughts and our practices in regards to corporate worship in a local New Testament church. And we need to use these principles to provide a framework for our worship. And so we can construct our forms of worship, if you will, and to shape our lives around them as worshipers of the Lord. And so this series of messages is going to be an attempt to not necessarily crystallize, but to at least bring into a clearer view some guiding principles of worship from the Scripture. And actually, if you read and study the New Testament, there's not really a lot of detailed prescription, if you will, for worship in the pages of the New Testament. It allows for some variety, but there are some guiding principles that are involved. In corporate worship or church worship involves attitudes, and it involves acts of praise. It involves adoration in response to God for His greatness and His goodness and His grace in our lives. Worship is not something that we can conjure up or that we can even create. It's something that we give to the Lord, but it's a response to God revealing Himself to us. That includes praying. Praying is a form or a part of our worship unto the Lord. It includes preaching. It includes singing. It includes giving and serving, etc., etc. And God invites us, and the Word of God invites us to show a true heart of worship unto the Lord. But how do we do that? What is our goal? What is the aim of our worship? Well, you know, we want to stand firmly on biblical ground in everything that we do, and especially in the order of our worship life as a church, while at the same time allow for variety, because the New Testament allows that. But we want to avoid teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. We don't want to, in our worship unto the Lord, it doesn't need to always necessarily be point number one and point number two and point number three, and this is what we do and this is how we do it. And if we don't do it that way, we're violating the tradition of the elders. Worship is full of life, as the Spirit of God leads and impresses and moves. It's not something that's just routine or what we do. Above all, we want to glorify the Lord in our worship. We want to bring glory to the one who is deserving of all of our praise. And that's what I want us to focus on these next few weeks, is to refresh and refocus our heart and our minds as to what worship really is. What is this all about anyway? The first principle that we find, I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And this is a guiding principle for life, really, but it especially is a guiding principle in when it comes to our worship of the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, "Whether ye therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." And the first guiding principle when it comes to our worship is that our worship needs to be centered around God. It needs to be God-centered. And whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Folks, we need to put a high priority on the vertical focus of our service to the Lord. Now, of necessity, other ministries of the church sort of have a horizontal focus to them because they're people related and you're dealing with man and you're dealing with issues related to man. But worship is different. Worship is purely God-focused. And that's why it is unique in and of itself. And the ultimate aim in worship is to, listen, and coming to church and being a part of a local New Testament church, the ultimate aim is to experience God in such a way that He is glorified in our affections, in what we love, what we're centered around. Worship is an end of itself. Because, like I say, by definition, other types of ministry are horizontally focused because of the aspects of men, but worship is purely vertically focused. And it is the primary purpose for which God created us. And therefore, it ought to be our highest endeavor and the thing that we are aiming for and striving for to bring glory to our God. It's the primary reason we were created. Look with me at 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever." Here's another follow-up on that passage of Scripture. "Whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." And when it comes to worship, when it comes to ministry, he says, whatever you do, do it with the ability that God has given, that God in all things may be glorified through Christ. Look at chapter 2 of the same book, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." What is our purpose? To offer up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, because of that, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We belong to the Lord. And the primary reason that we are here is to bring glory to our Heavenly Father. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 11. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to what? The glory of God the Father. Every tongue confessing that Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And if you look over at Isaiah chapter 43, Isaiah chapter 43, verse 6, the Bible says this, I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar, my daughters from the ends of the earth, every one that is called by my name, for I have created him, what? For my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. That's the primary reason we are here, is to bring glory to God. And all of our worship needs to be God-centered. Everything about our life needs to be God-centered. Therefore, because of that, we will give worship careful focus and careful attention in the life of this church. We're going to relate all of our activities to the Lord, to worship of the Lord. Our goal is going to be magnifying the Lord to the glory and honor of God. We are going to make explicit God's glory as our most important pursuit, our aim, our preoccupation. All that we do in the life of this church, by God's grace, is going to be for His glory and His honor. Our mindset needs to be, folks, and this is basically the crux of the whole matter right here. Our mindset needs to be for Your glory, God, in whatever I'm doing. Our mindset needs to be, Lord, I'm coming to church today, Sunday. I'm coming to church tonight, Wednesday night, to focus and center on You. So that means, in our congregational singing, these aren't just songs that we sing as routine. There needs to be life there that's generated by the reality of God in your life. What was your mindset when you came to church tonight? Lord, I want to worship You. My life is focused around You. God, I want to worship You. I want to bring glory to Your name through Black Road Baptist Church tonight. When I sing these songs, Lord, I want to focus on You and Your goodness and Your grace and Your mercy. When the choir sings, when specials are given, there's a message about our great God there. And it all needs to point vertically to Him. When the instruments play, when you give of your tithes and your offerings, Lord, all I have, I want You to glorify Your name with. I give it to You. Public prayer, not to be seen or heard of men, but to truly talk to the Lord, our God. Cleaning the church. You know, the bathrooms, keeping them clean, vacuuming the floors, pulling weeds outside the church building. Lord, I want to bring glory to You. This is the mindset that we need to be having. And see, this is my point. We get so busy and full of routine, and this is just what we do. We start to lose focus sometimes of why we do what we do. And you know, whenever we get refreshed in our motives, all of a sudden there is so much freedom to just serve Christ. It doesn't become mundane. It doesn't become routine. It is full of life. Lord, I love You. I want to do this for You. because of your greatness and your goodness. It's vertically focused. You know, when Christian service starts to become routine or mundane, or maybe it becomes a burden because of the responsibility, that focus is not vertically anymore, is it? It's right here. And see, that's easy as sinful people, mortals, to get into the habit of. All of a sudden, the joy of serving Christ comes back when the motive is right and the focus is right. He is worthy. He's our God. He is great. The primary purpose for us being here is to glorify Him. Why did you come to church tonight? Ask yourself the question. Examine your, why did you really come to church tonight? Is that because this is what we do on Wednesday night? And if I don't, someone's going to know that I'm not there and they're going to wonder why? Or did you come because you're focusing on Him? I want to worship You. Is He real to you in your daily life? Is your life centered around God? If He is that real, if the reality of God is there, it's not hard to be able to sing a song and be reading the words, and all of a sudden it just affects your soul. And you praise God in your spirit. It's not hard when the choir sings or a special is given to hear the message of that song and be able to say, "Thank You, God, for how great You are, for how good You are to me." It's not hard when the Holy Spirit of God begins to speak, and maybe even the Spirit of God convicts about something. It's not hard to say, "You know what, You're right, Lord. I'll fix that by Your grace because I love You." Is He that real to you? Does His truth affect you? Why did you come? It needs to be God-centered, our worship, our life, focused around the Lord. Principle number two is that our worship is first and foremost for God. Our worship is first and foremost for Him. You know, we don't just direct ourselves toward Him. Okay, we come to church and we're going to direct ourselves toward God. No, worship is earnestly seeking Him to draw near according to the promise of James 4, which says what? Anybody know? James 4, verse 8. Draw nigh to, and what? He will draw nigh to you. Draw nigh unto the Lord, and He will draw nigh unto you. We earnestly seek His drawing near by us coming before the Lord. He's going to draw nigh. You know what? As God, He is absolutely unique and therefore the only one who is worthy of praise. As Creator, He alone is deserving of the worship of His creation. According to Romans chapter 11, turn over there with me, will you? You know, maybe we get that confused sometimes. Like, worship is something that we're supposed to do so that we can benefit from it. But in reality, worship is actually for the Lord. Look at Romans chapter 11. And you can look with me at verse 36. For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. It's of Him, it's through Him, it's to Him, it's for Him. Look at Psalm 148. And in Psalm 148, beginning in verse 1, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise ye Him, all His angels. Praise ye Him, all His hosts. Praise ye Him, sun, moon. Praise Him, all ye stars of light. Praise Him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons, and all, excuse me, I got to get my glasses out here. I am really getting old. Sorry. Or else I need bigger print, one of the two. I don't know if I even have my glasses in there. I guess I don't. All right, you're just going to have to bear with me. What verse was I in? Verse 7. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons, and all deep. Fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling His word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. Kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth. Both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord. For His name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. Here is all of His creation, basically. And the command is to praise God. He alone is deserving of the worship of His creation. Our worship and our praise is for Him because He deserves it. You know, our worship is not for us. Not so that we can benefit. It's for Him, something we give to Him once we understand who He is. By the revealing of Himself, He demands a response from us. You understand what I'm saying here? Once we understand who our God is, we were created to glorify Him. We are to worship Him. He has revealed Himself. Now He demands a response. Look at Psalm 96. Psalm 96. And then I want you to turn over to Psalm 150 and just hold your place there. And we'll read Psalm 96, all right? The Bible says in Psalm 96, verse 4, "For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods." So we have God. He's revealing Himself that He is great. He is greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. Therefore, turn over to Psalm 150, verse 1, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high cymbals, high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." You understand who He is? He's God. To be feared. Therefore, praise Him. Vertically focused. That is why we are here, to praise Him and to glorify Him. It's not about this is what we do. This is church. And we're good Baptists. There needs to be life in our worship because He's God. You understand that? And we need to be refreshed and refocused in that often because we're sinful people. Now, ultimately, we do benefit in having His presence, and we benefit by having His power. But it's not for us. And the heart attitude needs to be, "I give You whatever I have, Lord. Please make it pleasing in Your sight." We need that refocusing. We need to refocus our sights. What is our mindset? Did you prepare your heart to give glory to God before you came to church tonight? Did you prepare your heart to give glory to God throughout the day today? Are you preparing your heart to give glory to God through your life tomorrow? It's for Him. Our worship is for Him. And when we draw nigh to the Lord, guess what? We benefit because He draws nigh to us. And we see His power and His presence. Our worship is for Him. And the third principle and final principle tonight is that our worship needs to be Bible-based and Bible-saturated. Look at Psalm 150 again. Look at verse 2. The Bible says, praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. We need to praise Him according to His excellent greatness. The admonition here is that our worship needs to be accurate according to His excellent greatness. Well, how do we know? How do we know what that is? Well, worship is our response to God's revelation of Himself. And we are responsible to praise Him as He really is, not as we would suppose Him to be or hope Him to be, but as He is. So how do we know what that is? Well, God has revealed Himself. God has revealed His glory through the inspired Scriptures. How do we know what our God is? How do we know what God's character is like? Unless we look to the Scriptures. He's revealed Himself to us through His Word. That is why our worship needs to be Bible-based and Bible-saturated. Because we must worship Him according to His excellent greatness. And how we find that out is through His Word. Look at Psalm 56. I love the Psalms. The Psalms are a great place to have your personal devotions, by the way. To get your focus on the Lord. Psalm 56, verse 4. In God I will praise His Word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. In God, He says, I will praise His Word. Now look at this verse, Psalm 138. This is great. Psalm 138 and verse 2. I will worship toward Thy holy temple and praise Thy name for Thy loving kindness and for Thy truth, for Thou hast magnified Thy Word above all Thy name. Wow! God has exalted His Word above all Thy name. And the psalmist says, I'm going to worship You, Lord. I'm going to praise You for Your loving kindness and for Your truth. And I know what that is because of Your Word. I know what Your character is like because of Your Word. And then I start to see it in my own practical life. I know what You're like, God, because Your Word said so. And You don't lie. And now I know the real experience of it in my life as You work in me and through me. How would we know that we can hope and trust in God, the kind of God that He is, the love that He has, if He did not reveal that to us in His Word? The point is this, folks, the content of our singing, the content of our praying, the welcoming of guests, the preaching of the Word, it should always conform to the truth of the Scriptures. But more than that, the content of God's Word should be woven through all that we do in our daily life. You can't just flip a switch and worship God on Sunday and on Wednesday if your daily life is not saturated by the Word of God and the character of God. It needs to be woven through all that we do in our worship. Therefore, we're going to read the Word of God. We're going to pray the Word of God. We're going to preach the Word of God. We're going to sing in our corporate worship, in private worship. We're going to sing the Word of God. We need to allow God's Word to show us how to worship, to provide the context and the motivation for our worship. The Word of God needs to fuel our worship. You can have all kinds of thoughts of men about God. But you know what? I'm not really interested in the thoughts of men about God. I want to know about God because of what His Word tells me He is. You know what? I don't have a problem with choruses as long as they're biblically based. I think many times, you know, good Baptists will shy away from new things. Like, for example, you remember, do you know the chorus, the song, As the Deer Panteth for the Water? As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after Thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You know that song, right? I think sometimes good Baptists will shy away from things like that because, man, the evangelicals, you know, they use those kinds of things. And we don't want to be like the evangelicals. But you know what? That's based in Psalm 42. As the heart panteth for the water brooks, so my soul longeth after thee. Is it biblical? Is it scriptural? Can it be used to worship the Lord? You understand what I'm saying? The Word of God is woven into all that we do. It dictates our worship. You know, that's what the Psalms are. The Psalms are the songs of Israel telling of the character of God. The Word of God needs to be our source. Our worship needs to be Bible-based and Bible-saturated. You know, we've got a lot of things that God wants to do through us, a lot of potential for God to glorify His name through Plaque Road Baptist Church. And God wants to. But the way that He's going to be able to glorify His name the most is when His people have a heart for worship. Understand who you are. My focus is on you. Why I do what I do is for you. Glorify your name through me in my life. And when all that we do in Plaque Road Baptist Church is vertically focused, all of a sudden there's joy, and there's unity, and there's peace, and God's power comes, and God's presence is here, and He begins to glorify Himself through us. We're going to continue this series next week, Lord willing. But the whole purpose is to refocus our gaze on the Lord, to refresh and repurpose our hearts as to what we're really doing here. You know, the circumstances of the church split and all of the things that have happened in the past, that's in the past. It's done. And we don't look back to the past. We don't look about what has been. We don't look about what might have been. We look at the Lord. What do you want to do? And when we do that, and we refocus our gaze, you know, it's been about survival maybe for a while and hanging on. But God is greater than that. We're not here to flounder and just hang on. We're here to move forward for Christ. And so, we get our eyes off of those things. We get our eyes off of what we don't think we have. And we look at what God has given to us and what we are, and we look up and we worship our God and watch Him glorify His name. So many times, we get into our routines and we begin to forget what the real goal is. Not just something that's, you know, that good Baptists do. It's about worshiping the Lord. And so let this challenge your thinking tonight. Why did you come? Why are you here? Where are we going? Where's our focus? It needs to be up. Amen? Amen. He is worthy of our praise. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You are God of loving kindness, God of mercy, a great God to be feared above all gods, small g gods. You are the one true God. There's one Lord, and that's You. There's one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all who is above all and through all and in You all. Father, You are worthy of our praise, and I pray that You'd help us, Lord, challenge our thinking, our mindset, our daily mindset about why I'm here. It's to bring glory to the name of the Lord above all else. And that encompasses a lot of things. But that's our primary goal, our purpose. And I pray, Lord, that you'd bless Plaque Road Baptist Church. Help us to draw close to you and take and claim those promises of drawing nigh unto the Lord. And Father, you said you would draw nigh unto us. That's what we crave. That's what we desire. The presence of God and the power of God. So, Lord, I pray that you draw our attention to you and that our worship would be centered in around the Lord. Our daily lives would be centered around you. Father, that we'd have the right mindset that our worship is for you because you are worthy. Father, that we let the Scriptures show us your character and show us how to worship you. Father, we pray for your blessings in the days ahead. Lord, grow this church spiritually. Strengthen us, mature us. Father, grow us numerically, because people are being saved and lives are being changed. And Lord, you are glorifying yourself through changed lives. Father, these are the things that we pray for. We pray for them in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Thanks for your attention tonight. It's good to be with you. And I'm settling in. More and more, feeling more and more comfortable. But I know that the Lord is leading in a certain direction, and that's where I want to go. And so I encourage you, invite you, challenge you. Let's go together. Amen? All right, don't forget the meeting tonight right after church here for all musicians. I won't keep you long, I promise. It's been good to be with you tonight. Lord bless you the rest of the week. You are dismissed. Thank